Well, and at this time, did you feel that personally also? That were you somewhat fearful of what could happen to you?
Well, yeah, of course, because the thing is, with and then I was worried about the fact that I may not get my American citizenship if I got mixed up with communists, that kind of thing. And in my father's case, it turned out to be quite true, because I think in 1952, he died in 53, 1952, he applied to go to Japan. And he got out of prison, and then he was applying for American citizenship, U.S. citizenship. And he applied to take it. He thought, well, I'm going to become American citizenship, get my American citizenship soon. And he applied to visit Japan because he hadn't been to Japan since before the war. And he got a letter from the Justice Department denying him a visa. They said he can, they can, they get, would give him a visa to leave the country, but they would not give him permission to re-enter the United States. And so essentially, he was not able to visit his relatives after World War II. And he died. And then he got his American citizenship in March, the early part of March. I think it was not March 7th or something like that. And he was celebrating. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, he died of a massive stroke. So he was not able to enjoy his U.S. citizenship, which he had coveted for such a long time, for very long. But the ironic part about this is the U.S. government thought that he deemed him worthy of getting a U.S. citizen, but they wouldn't grant him permission to leave the country. After perhaps he got his American citizenship, it would have been interesting after his U.S. citizenship whether he w had applied, reapplied again to go to Japan, whether he had been permitted to leave and then come back, but he didn't have an opportunity to test that, so.
It is so interesting to me that he did ultimately get American citizenship after all those years of being incarcerated and being under suspicion and having these hearings and rehearings. And then, really, it was only not that many years after he was released from incarceration that he was accepted as a U.S. citizen.
1953, yeah, right. And so, we thought, well, that's really strange. They wouldn't let him leave the country, but they thought that he, they said it was, I think it was, the reason is, was for the sake of national security or something like that. But at the same time, he was able to get his U.S. citizenship. I mean, it just kind of shows that the various, as my mother was very astute about this, is that the various departments in the government do not work in hand in hand. Like the immigration, the INS was under the Department of Commerce, I think, at one time. I'm not quite sure what the rationale of that was. And then it was not under the Justice Department. I think that they became part of the Justice Department only during World War II. And so when my dad was arrested, and his colleagues, his co-workers who were working for the Department of Commerce, and then the FBI who were working for the Department of Justice, they just got head to head in a kind of a power struggle about, well, this is our prisoner. And they said, well, he's our guy, and we were trying to get him out and so forth. So my mother was saying that, I forgot exactly what it was in Japanese, and I remember hearing her say this, and I thought, that's quite astute of her to recognize that, Dad was kind of a victim of these American people who were fighting against each other, were fighting for power, in the government over Dad, and Dad just became sort of the symbol, and that poor Papa, he was just sort of this victim of a power struggle between these two departments. And I thought, well, how does she know that? this Issei woman, he thought that she, you know, she, uneducated, she used to tell us that, I don't have any education, I'm not very bright. But she was very bright.